Now is the time, episode 34. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. All right, friends, welcome to another episode of Now is the Time, and we're back. Yes, we are back, not just back with the podcast, but back in Ukraine, and really, really glad to be back. It has been, well, in a way, it's kind of a long 10 months, it felt like to us. Of course, we did a lot of things. I don't know if you saw our update about what we did on furlough, what missionaries do on furlough, but we did visit about 30 churches and spoke about 75 times, traveled about 13,000 miles, spent nights in a few dozen different cities with many different people. But, you know, it was a good experience. And ultimately, it was a chance for us to be able to share what God is doing in Ukraine and to allow people to stand with us and to stand with us in that ministry. And so we met a lot of people during that time, and we came away from it blessed. But, you know, last month, July, was just really busy. I mean, we were on the road for, I think, 25 days out of July. And so I just couldn't do the podcast in July. But I am starting it up now. And here's the deal. I have a number of shows, episodes that I'm going to be doing here. And I'm going to be talking about some of the content from my new book, What If? How to Kill Worry and Anxiety Before They Kill You. I know that many of you have purchased the book, and I'm very grateful for that. What I want you to know is that if you have purchased the book, or if you're thinking about purchasing the book, all of the proceeds from the purchase of that book will go towards ministry in Ukraine, okay? So 100% of the proceeds go towards ministry in Ukraine. And so I think it's a great thing that you can do where a little bit of the purchase price that doesn't go to Amazon or for actual printing costs of that book will go straight into ministry in Ukraine. Well, today I want to talk about safety, health and safety. And really, this comes from one of the chapters in my book, actually, because one of the things that people often worry about is their own safety. And they get worried thinking they might get hurt, they might get injured. In fact, one of the things that keeps people from becoming a missionary, especially to a foreign country, is worry about their physical safety. And so it is a big deal. And here's something that I have heard. Well, I've heard it from people from time to time, where they say, the safest place to be is in God's will. Do you agree with that? You know, I'm not sure I do. The safest place to be is in God's will. Oh, wait a minute. Was it a safe place where the Apostle Paul was when he was arrested and beaten, when he was shipwrecked? Were those safe places? I mean, I'm not sure how you define safe. Maybe there's a different way of defining safe. But if we think of it safe in the normal way that people use it, you know, go to Hebrews chapter 11. What about all those people that had their, you know, heads chopped off and things like that, sawn in two? Is that safe? I don't think it does fit the definition of safe in many ways. And so part of the issue here too is just trying to understand why is safety important to us. But before I really kind of get into the how and the why of why we worry about safety and how not to worry about safety, I want to share with you a little story. The first time, well, no, not the first time I was in Ukraine. This was the first time that I traveled to Ukraine with my wife, Christina. We actually were not married yet. This was back in, let me think what year, 1996, I believe. Back in 1996, so that would make it 18 years ago, I traveled to Ukraine with my, actually it was my spouse-to-be, because we had not been married yet. We got married the month after that trip. We traveled to Ukraine. It was summer. In fact, it was August. And we went to the city of Cherkasy, where Christina's family lives, and we were celebrating, well, my birthday is in August, it's August 6th, so I just had it here recently. And so they decided that they would go to the river, to the beach, to celebrate my birthday and do a little bit of, do a little fire, a little what they call shashliki on the beach. And so we gathered things up, went to the beach, and we were sitting there relaxing when this guy pulls up onto the beach with his car. He's got an old Soviet Lada, if you're familiar with Soviet cars. And behind his car, he is pulling this ultralight. And it's on a little trailer. And he takes it off, and he has a friend or two there. They unfold the wings and fuel it up and tinker around with it and finally get it started. And then they take off, and they do a couple little circles in it and come back down. Well, my father-in-law gets this idea that for my birthday present, he will purchase a ride for me in this ultralight. So he goes over to the guy, the pilot that's flying it, and for about, I don't know what it was, like $5 or something, maybe less. And he said, and the guy agrees to give me a ride. So I go over, and this ultralight, you have to understand, it's just completely open. There's just a couple of, there's two seats in it, side by side, and it's just canvas that is hung between aluminum tubing. And then right behind that, you have the motor and the propeller. And so I get in, and I see that there are seatbelts there. I begin to fiddle with my seatbelt, getting ready to buckle. And the pilot, he looks at me, he says, "Не надо," which in Russian means, "You don't need that. It's not necessary." And, to this day, I don't know why. But, and you have to understand, if you've ever been in Ukraine or Russia, this is sort of the mentality of like a Ukrainian or Russian taxi driver. "Why are you putting a seatbelt on? Do you not trust me as a driver?" kind of a thing, okay? And so I didn't want to offend the guy, I suppose is why. I didn't put the seatbelt on. So he starts up the engine, and this is actually an ultralight that it had floats on it, so we're taking off from the water. And puts that thing through the water, and up we go, and we climb up into the air. And I've got a video camera in one hand and a death grip on this aluminum tubing with the other hand. And as he turns around the banks, this sharp turn, I'm thinking, why in the world did I not put my seatbelt on? And to tell you the truth, I don't think that I have ever been that worried or anxious about a flight as I was on that flight. And thankfully, it wasn't a long flight, and I saw that we were coming down to land again in the water. And by the time we landed, I just said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." I made it back. But here's the thing. I've flown a lot in my life. I've flown on airplanes that had to turn around because of mechanical problems, flown through different thunderstorms, and I have flown, obviously, much higher and faster and farther, but I've never been so worried in my life. What was the difference? Because, I was worried for my safety at that point, right? What was the difference? I think the difference can be summed up in one word, which is the word trust. Here's the thing. This Ukrainian guy that just showed up on the beach, I mean, I didn't know him from the man on the moon. I did know for sure that, I mean, certainly his ultralight was not FAA approved. And so there were a lot of things, there were a lot of unknowns that caused me to just not really know. I didn't know how well he kept up his ultralight. I didn't know if maybe the metal on his wings was weak and could just break and we'd fall. You know, there were a lot of things I didn't know. And because I didn't know, it was hard for me to really trust that I would be completely fine. The difference between flying in that ultralight over the Dnieper River in Ukraine and flying in a commercial plane is one of trust. Because ultimately, when you fly or when you travel anywhere, really, whether it's car or airplane or train, you have to have a certain amount of trust in the person that is piloting that vehicle. And so when I fly in a commercial airline, I feel a little better about it because I'm pretty sure, although not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that pilot has gone through rigorous training and safety training and has, you know, probably a couple of hundred hours at least of flying experience and has passed certain tests and that they've checked out the airplane and that they have certain safety regulations for the airplane. And, of course, they have a seatbelt and I put the seatbelt on. And I know that there is a life preserver under my seat. All of those things. And so all those things, they help me trust. They help me trust that, you know, this is going to be okay. Although not completely, because every time I get on an airplane, I know that, you know, this airplane could crash. So here's the deal. If you worry about your health and safety, I want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, there is no such thing as ultimate safety. Because there's a couple of ways that you can get rid of your worry about your safety. First is just to convince yourself that you're going to be fine. Everyone's going to be safe. And some people do that, and some people are, you know, they manage to kind of convince themselves of that. But ultimately, I don't mean to be morbid, but this is the truth. Ultimately, you will die of some sort of a health problem. Ultimately, your physical body will give out. Ultimately, you will have some accident, some health problem, something that's going to take your life. So really, there is no ultimate safety, physically speaking, in this world. And, you know, a great illustration of that is King David. Well, before he was a king, really. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he goes to the battlefield and sees Goliath. And it's very interesting to see King Saul's reaction when basically David says, yeah, I'll go against Goliath, okay? And here's what King Saul says in 1 Samuel 17:33. He says this to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, but he has been a man of war from his youth. Okay? Saul is just looking at the facts that he can see with his own eyes, right? Here's David. He's a puny, young, inexperienced boy. There's Goliath. He is a gigantic, muscle-bound, well-trained warrior of a man. And Saul's saying, this is not going to work. You are not safe. Your physical life is in danger and you're probably going to lose it. You're going to die. Okay? This is not a safe place for you to be. Saul was worried about David, but David wasn't worried. And so David responds simply like this in 1 Samuel 17:37. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David knew that the situation was dangerous, but David knew something that Saul did not know or did not think of at that time, was that, you know, his God could keep him safe. His God did have the ability to keep him safe. And I think that David is just such a great example of someone who had very many reasons to worry about his own safety. I mean, my goodness, you know, later on, the king, Saul, was out to kill David, the king. Imagine if you lived in a country where the president or the king or whoever the ruler of that country was, their main goal in life was to kill you. Would that worry you just a little bit? And yet, you know, David writes things in the Psalms like, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." That's Psalm 4:8. Or, of course, the famous Psalm 23, where he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." So David's trust wasn't in the fact that he was skilled, that he had a bigger sword, or that he knew how to shoot the bow better, or any of those things. His trust was in God, wasn't it? Because God supersedes any possibility of harm. God supersedes all of those things. And I think that those are very good reminders for us. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We can and we need to put our trust in God for our safety. And I believe that if you are following God's leading in your life, that there may often be situations that you are called to act in that could be very dangerous physically situations. And as you are following God's leading in your life, you know what? God will keep you safe from those things. But there is a time when we all die. There is a time when God says, you know, it's your time to go. And how about safety then? Well, you know, I think that David understood that as well. And I think that especially if you look at Psalm 16, you see that David had this hope that even if God did not deliver him physically from an enemy, God would deliver him eternally and give him eternal life. And I think Psalm 16 is a good one to read. It's also a prophetic psalm, talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus, how he'd be resurrected from the dead later. But I think that we, you know, as much as it talks about Jesus, we cannot deny that David is writing this psalm with regard to his own life too. And so he says in Psalm 16:10, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." And basically what David is saying there is, I know that even after this life, I still have hope. I have safety because you're not going to abandon me to the grave, but you are going to give me life that goes beyond the grave. So is it really the safest place to be in God's will? Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, it is the safest place if you're talking about ultimately going to heaven and being with God. But no, it's not the safest place if you're just talking about safety from physical harm. But here's the thing. As someone who has their faith in God, we really do not need to fear or worry about our health and safety. Now, I'm not saying that you should just, you know, drive without your seatbelt or eat all kinds of junk because you're not worried about your health or safety. No, we need to use wisdom And this is something that is difficult sometimes, even as a like as a missionary, to balance. Say we want to be here, like for instance, we are in Ukraine right now. We want to be here. We want to serve the people here. We want to preach the gospel here. But we also have to have wisdom to know when it might be the right time to leave as well, right? So we use wisdom principles. We are not just reckless with our lives, but at the same time. At the same time, if there is a clear call of God to act, if there is a clear scriptural command that this is the right thing to do, then that is the time when we push aside the risk to our health and safety and say, no matter the risk, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing. And we don't have to worry, because if we've put our faith in Christ, first of all, we can know that he has the ability to keep us safe, that he has the knowledge of what's going to happen to us, and that he can providentially provide for our safety here and now on this earth. And then secondly, we know that ultimately if we end up getting killed or injured, that God will providentially use it for his glory, and ultimately he will keep us safe as he brings us to heaven to enjoy eternal fellowship with him. So friends, I hope that you are not overly worried about your health and safety. But you know what my hope is for you is that you understand that it is really God who is in control. It is God who holds your health, your body, your life in his hands. And unless you put your trust in him completely, you know, you're going to have problems with worry. But once you lay that worry, that anxiety, that fear into his hands, you know what? You're going to have peace. And you are going to be able to accomplish things for God that you thought would never be possible, because he will work in and through you. All right, friends, thank you for listening to another episode of Now is the Time. Make sure you check it out on iTunes. And you can also find it on sukafamily.org/34. And until next time, be blessed. Don't worry, God is in control. Just put your trust in him.